Okay, so we are in morning session two, which title is Fellowship to College Students on the Practice of the God-Ordained Way. Amen. Praise the Lord. So in this session, you know, it's wonderful that there is a burden that the Lord is recovering us back to His ordained way. And there is a burden for the college students to enter into this practice. God has covered us, returning us to His way, that there could be a living testimony on all the campuses in this nation. Amen. So for this session, there's going to be some fellowship, some brother sharing. But we'd like to include you all to share. So we have some ones giving testimonies to be living testimonies or examples of these very points for our encouragement and for our entering into. Amen. So what I'm going to do is open up with some fellowship. If you look at the that first reading material, underneath Fellowship to College Students on the Practice of the God-Ordained Way, we have a little title. How about we read that together? Bearing Fruit and Having a Heart of Love. So my portion on bearing fruit. If you go down, there's a heading just down on that same page. How about we read that heading there? Okay. The normal Christian life being a life that bears fruit. Brothers and sisters, it's altogether normal for us to bear fruit. And I thought just as an opening, I think it would be good if we can look at those verses in John chapter 15. Right? This is where the thought of fruit bearing comes from. And how about we just take a second to read a few of the verses. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. And then we'll read verse 16, okay? So how about we just alternate between brothers and sisters? How about we start with the brothers on verse 1? We'll alternate through to verse 5. Okay, ready? So brothers, verse 1. Sisters, every branch. Amen. Brothers.
You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you.
Sisters. Brothers.
I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing.
Amen. How about sisters on verse 8? Then how about all of us together on verse 16? This portion is exceedingly rich, and I'll just have to share a little bit. Brothers and sisters, we are branches in the vine.
Amen.
The Lord is the vine, the Father is the husbandman, and we are the branches abiding in Christ.
Amen.
And by our abiding in Christ, fruit is being born.
Amen.
And if you noticed in here, I think one impression I have, again, is how much there is in these verses in the Father's heart for fruit. Again and again, he talks about the branches. Their existence is to bear fruit.
Amen.
And if the branch bears fruit, he prunes it. Why? It would have more fruit.
Amen.
What's in the Father's heart is fruit.
Amen.
Maybe it's a little fresh in me because I have a garden at home. First time I've grown in a garden in more than 2 decades, I think. And, you know, I came back from a trip. I was so happy with our squash. For it had given me a first fruit. It was 4-pound squash. I was very happy. But then I was looking at some of the other vegetables, like tomatoes and strawberries, and they were not even flowering. They look pretty, but there's no fruit. And I was just considering this in light of this message. I was considering the Father is looking for fruit because the fruit glorify Him. He is expressed in the fruit. And, you know, in this verse, I'd like to point out, in this chapter, the fruit here is not the virtues of the Holy Spirit, right? We know in Galatians it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, is joy, is peace, is love. And we know that this fruit is talking about in John 15 are people as the multiplication of Christ, ones who receive the divine life and become believers in Christ. Because in verse 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth." This implies going from one place to another place. This implies visiting people. You should go forth and bear fruit. In fact, even the context, if you read the context of John 12 through 15, is that the Lord talks much about the fruit being the multiplication of Christ. You know, you realize that every time a person receives Christ, Christ is multiplied. This is wonderful. And this is in the Father's heart. So what I like to do, as we talked about, mentioned, we're going to invite students to come up. I don't know, is this where they stand or come up? I forget. Okay, come up. Yeah, amen. There are two dear sisters who had just shared previously with us their testimony. And so for our enjoyment and our encouragement, we'd like you to have a taste of the fruit of the saints' overflow of life. So these two sisters, I think it's Afia and Samantha, right? Is it? From Stores. How about, is it okay? You can come up and just share what you just shared with us. I think we're going to try to keep it within how you became fruit. And this will be an encouragement to us all. Do we have a... And then there's about 2 minutes, right? Is that the... Amen. So go ahead. Thanks, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen, saints. I'm Samantha, and I'm from Storrs, Connecticut. And, you know, last fall I met, you know, the saints at Storrs, and I started meeting with Lola and reading the Bible and all. And she was always, you know, so excited to read with me and enjoying a lot, even if, I don't know if she noticed that I wasn't giving her any feedback or not. But, yeah, she was always very excited. And, you know, as the semester went on, I started going to the Lord's Tables meeting a little bit more, and, you know, they always talk about, you know, your human spirit and all that. But, you know, I was raised Catholic, so I'm like, of course, yeah, you know, go to church on Sundays. That's what you do until next Sunday. You can join them again. And, you know, the week you work and you go to class. But it wasn't until, you know, we were on a spring break trip, and when was it, March? And the very first day, we met with saints in Boston. The saints from USC, University of Southern California, were there, and it was so sweet because they were young and they were enjoying the Lord. And they weren't doing anything crazy. They were just simply by enjoying, they touched me. And it was like the first day of the trip was kind of like, whoa. And I remember Ophia even shared something. She said she fellowshiped a little bit, and because we were reading Acts at that time and about Saul and, you know, turning into Paul at that time and the Lord turning into the Lord, you know, forgiving him. And that was like, if he can forgive Paul, then he's definitely, you know, forgives us also. And those, you know, that whole trip, during the whole time, the whole week, every day, we went from Boston to New York to Philadelphia and to Maryland. And every day we fell on somebody's home meeting. So it was day by day, you know, moment by moment. And the saints were just simply enjoying, and we were enjoying along with them. And it was like, it wasn't even hard work. It was just like, there's a song I really like, you know, Christ Has Come to Be Life. It says, all I'm required to do is to stay in the flow. If I do the drinking, then God give the growth. I never got the part where it says, there's a smile in my face, and, you know, I'm there's something about skipping around and enjoying my heart and stuff. But it's so true. When you're enjoying, it's so unspeakable and full of glory. And, you know, it's so sweet, and you can't help it but, enjoy and want to speak of him and for him and want to gain more of him. And I, you know, the words in the Bible, they weren't, just black and white words anymore. They were so sweet. They were like honey to my mouth. And, you know, we went to a retreat in Irvington. They were talking about the Lord's coming back. And that was exciting. Yeah, that was so exciting. I'm like, wow, I want the Lord to come back really, really bad. And, yeah, it was kind of like everything's just kind of like, whoa. whoa. Amen. Was a believer? Yes. Amen. Yes. Yes.
Amen. Well, my name is Sophia, and I'm also from UConn. Well, for me, it was pretty simple. When I came to UConn, I started searching because my mom wasn't there to drag me to church every Sunday, so I had to do it myself, and I was searching, looking for a church to go to, and I met Sister Sarah in the library, and she read with me, and it really touched me. So she told me where to go for the home meetings and the Bible studies, and I went, and I really enjoyed it. But even then, I was really reserved. Like, I kind of had a wall up because I was raised Methodist, so some of the things they were telling me, it was not what I was used to hearing. So even though I like going to meetings, I like meeting the new people, but for some reason, I just always had a wall up until we went to the spring break. And like she was saying, we met the Saints from USC, and I think for me, what did it for me was I met the Saints from Maryland, and I think some of them are actually here. Yeah, over there. And just watching them just, love the Lord, and, they're our age mates, and they're just, fellowshipping and just, loving the Lord, it really, really touched me, and I was like, wow, so if they can do it, I can definitely do it, too. And going off of what she said, I did say that, because when we write the book of Acts, and Saul persecuting Christ, and after all he did, Christ forgave him, and Christ used him to, he's like one of the main people that built up the church, and I was just like, wow, if God can forgive Saul for doing what he did, and use Saul to build up his kingdom, he can definitely use all of us in here to build up his kingdom, and we can all be transformed into pillars to build up his kingdom for him. So I was really touched by that, and spending time with Samantha, she's also very into the word, and I just really like spending time with her because, whenever I'm around her, I feel like I enjoy the Lord more just by watching her enjoy the Lord. And because of that, actually, I became baptized in April the 22nd. And I just told God, I was like, it's been such a long road because I feel like I've been running away from him, putting up walls, and he still gained me, you know? Yeah. After all that, he still gained me, and even though I still struggle, I know that he's going to use all of us to build up his kingdom. So amen. I guess I'm a fruit.
One more thing. And, you know, the whole thing about being priests in Christ, all of us, that was awesome because, you know, before when, you know, Lola and, you know, Jesse were talking to us, you know, they were planting a seed. They may not have known it, and we probably had no idea. But, and when we were on the trip, it's kind of like, those students, they kind of watered, so we grew in the Lord. And after the retreat we went to, we were Kaichi and I, another sister from Stores, you know, we were so touched and so excited. We're super excited. And that we wanted to go on the gospel. And yeah. Every time, you know, we went around Stores on campus, just, you know, the two of us, just, you know, we didn't know how to go out in the gospel. We just you know, we love the Lord. And amen. We got better at it as time went by. But and even if people rejected us, we can say, oh, Lord Jesus, we gave you that brother right there. And, you know, maybe we planted the sin, and maybe somebody else can water. And, you know, they can grow in the Lord. So you never know, just by enjoying the Lord, who's going to be gained. Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Thank you. Isn't that precious? One thing, just in listening to their testimony, is is that you just see they're being impacted by the enjoyment of the saints. The saints are just enjoying the Lord Jesus. And there's an overflow from that enjoyment. And that's fruit. Others got brought into that same enjoyment. And so, you know, the genuine fruit bearing is just the overflow of the inner life. And so, you know, that's why in these verses here, it stresses very much, as branches, we just abide in Christ. Enjoy his riches. As we're enjoying these riches, that will have a living impact in others around us. And so one of the points I wanted just to emphasize and bring out is that this matter of fruit bearing is not a work or an activity. It is a living. You know, if you were to ask the branches, what are you doing? And they go, I don't know. I'm not doing anything. I'm just here abiding in the vine. I'm enjoying these riches. And these fruit are coming out. Right? I mean, that, you know, illustration kind of just helps us, because many times when we think about fruit bearing, we think about preaching the gospel. I don't know about you. I'm a person also fearful of the gospel. So fear and trepidation seizes your being. Oh, no, they're going to talk about preaching the gospel now. And you think, you know, I got to go out door knocking and going out talking to people. And there's an aspect there. Yes, amen. But this matter of fruit bearing is not an activity. It's not just, you know, even if Andrew and I can be a preacher or someone who can speak and get you all stirred up, that you go out and then pray for three days and go out and save 100 people, you think that would be just great. It'll be a revival. No, brothers and sisters, that would be abnormal. That's not what the Lord's after. He is after us to be recovered back to what is normal. And what is normal is that we, as branches, are enjoying Christ. And that we are bearing fruit. Ones are being gained through us in a normal way through our enjoyment and through our living. So this is, I hope we can all be freshly impressed. And actually what I'd like to do is, mention one thing and then ask for another student to give a testimony, is that, you know, we may be touched that, Lord, I want to be normal. I want to be one who is bearing fruit. You know, I just like to say this, that, you know, if we do not bear fruit, we are not normal. You know, we may have a feeling if you have a practice, you go to the Lord's Day meeting, you go to a church meeting, and then by circumstances, maybe because your weakness, you didn't go, you feel bad. You feel bad about it. You realize, I should have gone, I didn't go. But, you know, if you haven't gained a person this whole school year, and there hasn't been someone that you had been a part of to gaining into the church life, a lot of us may not have any feeling about that. So, you know, there in the reading, in this book, it brings out, you know, the church life is a test to us, our being right in the church life. But it's altogether possible we can be in the church life, we're with the brothers and sisters, we are in the meetings, but then there's another test, and that is the test of fruit bearing. And if we have not gained a person for the Lord, we are not normal. And there should be some feeling, Lord, I don't want to be abnormal. Lord, where's my fruit? So this thing is, the Lord is recovering us, brothers and sisters, back to being normal. So, amen. I wanted to ask Jonathan to come and share about his experience while he was in high school.
So I'm Jonathan Carr, hi Saints, from Fort Collins, Colorado, and I'm an incoming freshman, so I just graduated high school, and my family moved to Fort Collins from Denver 3 years ago for the GTCA city, Fort Collins, and so I was going into a new school, and I remember very vividly thinking that in this place I have 3 years, and if I don't gain someone in those 3 years, those 3 years were nothing. So I remember praying, going into it, Lord, give me fruit. And so, and every semester that passed, I remember praying, Lord, where's the fruit? Right? This was just my heart. I, you know, because I just had this time limit in my mind. I have 3 years with these people. Anyway, so the Lord, from actually pretty much the very start, started working in a sister, and her name's Jamie. She was one of my classmates. And he just started working. And she was so seeking that she would ask me questions. And so I would just answer her faithfully as best I could, which wasn't great. And so I would answer her questions, and she would keep on seeking. And eventually she wanted to come to meetings. Eventually she brought a friend with her, whom we're in contact with now. Anyway, so this, I just have to attribute it to the Lord, is that if you open yourself to for the Lord to give you fruit, it will be a gift. It won't be a labor. They'll start asking you questions, right? They'll start wanting to come to meetings. This is, you know, this is my experience. We don't have to produce in people a seeking, right? There are seekers out there. There are seekers in our classmates, and they're just waiting for somebody to be open. Anyway, and so she was a good friend of mine, and we have a mutual friend. His name's Carl, and I just said, Lord, you know, I can't graduate high school without Carl getting saved. And so then last year, he got involved with a girl, and I was like, oh, dear. And then fall semester of my senior year, he was still as closed as ever in this particular kind of philosophy. And I was just, and so I went into my last semester of high school thinking, I have one semester left. Lord, you have to gain Carl. And he did!
Praise the Lord.
Carl is saved! Amen. Carl's going to get baptized. Amen. But anyway, so my testimony is that I didn't do anything except open. That's all I did. I just opened to the Lord and prayed that he would give me fruit. And he has, right? He is the faithful one. And he's the life within, right? It's not up to us to save these people. We're just here as channels, channels of his wonderful life in us. Amen.
Well, I appreciate it when Jonathan's testimony is that don't you sense a little desperation? Lord, give me fruit. And, you know, it's, you might get inspired and say, Lord, okay, I'm willing. Lord, I'm going to work this out. Lord, I'm going to go. I'm going to be a fruit bearer. But you know, there's this verse in Romans 7:18. It says that to will is present with me, but to work out the good is not. We're not looking for you to be willing, although being willing is wonderful. But in this case, to be a person willing, having been inspired to bear fruit and to do something for the Lord, and then you go and you just fail. Again, you forget about it, you kind of get caught up in your own things again. So what is the Lord looking for? Is opening. Not a willing, but an opening. Lord, I need fruit. And you know what? When we begin to open to the Lord, then the Lord will begin to touch you. And this is one point I just wanted to bring out. You know, I don't know if you've seen this before. It's a big help to me. In John 15:2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And that's not talking about losing eternal salvation. It's talking about being cut off from the fellowship and enjoyment of Christ. Okay, but the second part I want to emphasize, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. And I always got troubled by that. It seems like if you bear fruit, that's very good. Yet the Lord prunes it. Why? So it would bear more fruit. And it's interesting is that word prunes literally means cleanses. And in the next verse, it says that you are clean because of the word of God I have spoken to you. And so, you know, and I also think that we have to be passively waiting. Okay, the Father's going to prune me. But, you know, the ministry brings out is actually we don't passively wait to be pruned. We need to be ones who actively go to the Lord and to deal with the Lord and open to him regarding us being cleansed, us being pruned of everything that does not match him. And, you know, it's something. I have rose bushes, and I like pruning them. And, you know, it's something. When you prune the rosebush, you cut off the foliage, extra foliage you don't need, when the dead parts you cut off. And every place I make a cut, there is a fresh, tender branch that comes out. And you know what? Eventually, when that branch develops, the roses come out of these fresh, tender branches. And it's brought out is that the pruning is necessary to make us fresh and living and tender before the Lord. If we don't have the pruning, we don't have the cleansing, we can so easily become old. And old branches don't bear fruit. But when we're fresh, when we're living, we're enjoying the Lord in a fresh, living way, then fruit is being born. But we only have that when the Lord and His Word comes to us and shines within our being. In the reading, it's very good, applicable to me. The Lord may come in and touch about your attitude toward your wife. And I had to confess, Lord, my attitude to my wife is terrible. You know, He talks about the sister shopping, how the sisters may go and not involve the Lord in their shopping. There may be all kinds of things. How about our internet use? You know, we surf on the internet. Oh, Lord, how about our use of the internet? You know, the Lord will begin to touch things. And you know what? When you open to the Lord and the light comes, you just need to deal with the light that you receive. And when you begin to confess that, then more light will come in. Some of us might say, and I was like that, I said, it seemed like I have nothing wrong between me and the Lord. I'm okay. Well, if you just open, at least the Lord can touch you. Do you have any fruit? If you don't have any fruit, you're not okay. Right? So you got to repent. Lord, I have no fruit. Lord, I repent of my barrenness. And then the Lord may begin to touch. You're barren because you don't have any heart for people. You just care for yourself. Lord, you may be brought into tears. Lord, I do. I just love myself. I repent. Well, I tell you, as the Lord begins to shine, this is the pruning. Amen. When you come away from the Lord in that way, you'll become living. There'll be something fresh in your being. And then as you contact ones, your friends, the ones around you, they'll sense something of life in you. They'll be interested. They'll be open. You know, I'd just like to finish with a little testimony. Maybe you heard this before about Watchman Nee, who, after being saved, he was in school, and he was very burdened for his classmates. And he even wrote down a list of 70 of his classmates. And he would go, and every day he would speak to them, and they would just make fun of him. Oh, here comes the preacher again to talk to me about Jesus. And he was having a hard time. So he went to, I think it was Miss Groves, a sister, an older sister, more experienced sister. And he says, you know, I've been praying, but no one's getting saved. And then she told him, well, before you speak to man, you have to speak to God. And he encouraged him, you have to go. You must have something between you and the Lord. And so he began to go and to deal with the Lord, confess his sins. He had to make retribution to people. He had to confess of offenses that he made. And as he began to deal with the Lord in this way, his testimony was that one by one, all these ones on his name list began to be saved. And I think within several months, he testified that all 69 of the 70 got saved. And it's because he went to the Lord and dealt with the Lord. And the Lord began to work in him and be able to flow life out of him. And I believe, brothers, you can correct me, I believe the 70th one eventually got saved too. Right later on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, we're branches. Right? Abiding in the vine. And as the Lord prunes us, we can be living, tender branches to bear fruit for the glorification of the Father. Okay, Andrew.
So let's read. I want you to read the title that is. This title is page 50. There's one title, one bold. So I just want to read together. Ready? Having a heart love to care for people. Let's read together. Having a heart of love to care for people. Okay, sisters.
Having a heart of love to care for people.
brothers.
Having a heart of love to care for people.
I'd like to ask brothers one more time. Brothers.
Having a heart of love to care for people.
College brothers only.
Having a heart of love to care for people.
Brothers, one more time. In this ministry portion, a few sentences, I got really convicted, shyness. There is no better way than we love and care for people. And then later on, we may have a heart to bear fruit, but we may not have a heart for people. So one thing, we need the two kind of prayer this morning. I'd like to encourage you, Lord, I want to bear fruit. How about we pray together? Lord, I want to bear fruit. Lord, I want to bear fruit. And then second prayer, Lord, give me a heart to love people. So without the loving people, people can sense. You know, sometimes our gospel work is to kind of give an impression to people that they are object of our work. But what people are really looking for is they are looking for people who really genuinely care for them with a divine love. So when we love them, when we have a genuine interest for them, eventually we can bring them into the Lord and they will become genuine fruit for Father's glory. So at this point, I'd like to ask a sister to share. Are you nervous? Yeah. That means she's a genuine. Okay.
Hi, I'm Kaichi, and I'm from the University of Connecticut. And I just wanted to share about my experience of caring for others and bearing fruit. And, like, growing up in the church life, like, I was thinking in my seat before, like, have I bared any fruit? And I was thinking, no, not really. Like, that's a problem. I've grown up 19 years, and I haven't bared one fruit. And, going into college, I wanted to pursue the Lord, and I met Lola and Jesse because they were part of my church. So like I was already like part of like the Christian students on campus, and it was after one of the conferences in Ivoryton about the Lord's coming back, and like growing up in the church life, you kind of just get used to the routine, like going to church, like reading the Bible, going to the conferences, going to summer school of truth. And I never realized how much, like, I held it to myself. Like, I enjoyed the Lord, but I didn't share it with other people. And, like, that was the problem, because to bear fruit, you have to share your enjoyment of Christ. And so after the conference, I just couldn't hold it in any longer. I had to overflow. And we're like a cup, and this was what one of the saints said in Connecticut. They said, we're a cup and it's filled with water, and when it overflows, it needs a saucer to catch it. And the saucer are everyone else. They want to catch it, and we're the enjoyment that's overflowing, and we need to release it. So after the conference, I was sitting with one of my friends. We didn't really talk that much before. Like, we talked about school, like, can you help me with computer class, like that kind of stuff. But for some reason, I just felt like I needed to get something off my chest, so I just started talking about the conference, and she was like, so what did you do this weekend? And instead of saying, like, okay, great, like, nothing really happened, like, that's what we normally say, I was like, this is my chance to, like, express my enjoyment. And so I just started sharing what I enjoyed, and she was like, wow, like, are you meeting with anyone? I was like, yeah, like, the Christian students on campus. And she was like, oh, are they, like, denominational? And I was like, no, like, anyone can join. So I brought her to a home meeting, and so, like, that's where, like, Christ is. That's where, all the enjoyment is flowing. And she was just sitting there, and after, I was like, so what did you think? And she was like, I just think it's really amazing how it's so simple. Like, all you have to do is enjoy. Like, it's so simple. And she's so used to, like, the rituals, going just on Sundays. And I was like, it's an everyday life. And so just from this, I feel like I want to keep, like, bringing her to the meetings, because she's still a little, like, iffy. Like, I kept asking her. She was like, oh, I'm busy. But, like, you have to have, like, pursue and perseverance to keep asking her to come back even when she rejects you. And this reminds me of Lola because, like, the full-timers on campus, like, they always text us, like, when all the meetings are, the Bible meeting, and sometimes we're a little busy, so we kind of, like, say, oh, no, not today. And but then I realized it's because of their love for the Lord that they're able to love us and keep making us wanting to come back. They keep texting us. They keep emailing us, telling us all the conferences. And the only way that we can bear fruit and it roots in our love for the Lord. Amen. If we don't have that first, then there's no way that we can have love for others. Amen. And so I just hope that you guys would just have the Lord as your first love, your best love, and that you would want to bear fruit.
Amen. Thank you. So by hearing testimony, God is love. When we enjoy the Lord, God himself as love will be infused into us. And with that loving heart, when we see the people around us, we can start to love them. People on the earth, they're really hungry for genuine care and love. Of course, it makes them take some time, different thing. But eventually, deep down, what the people are looking for is people who really genuinely care for them. If we care for them with the love of God, if we care for them with a simple overflow of a divine life, we can bring them to the Lord, they would become fruit. Once they become fruit, believe me, your joy will be filled. Amen. Don't you want your joy to become full? Amen. So I can give you one simple testimony. It is one time I met with this brother on campus. He doesn't look that lovable. So anyway, so I started meeting with them twice, three times, and he was not that lovable at all. So conclusion is, Lord, this is not good fruit. I'm ready to pass on. And the Lord touched me that, why not taking care of him? My answer was, he doesn't look good. Yet, right at the moment when I respond to him in this way, he spoke to me in this way. Were you good either? And the Lord reminded me, before I got saved, I was a very wild person who didn't love the Lord at all. Actually, I persecuted Christians in a certain degree. But Lord's love came to reach me and save me. And the Lord reminded my simple salvation. So the Lord said, think about who you were 10 years ago. And I said, he's much better than who you were. So anyway, Lord touched my heart, turned my heart, and we started to share. Yes, he was not lovable. He was not loved for a long time. But anyway, spending time, now this brother in the church life, pursuing the Lord, building up the body of Christ. So saints, we don't love people based on their appearance. We love them simply based on the love of God. So if we have this kind of attitude, you have 100 people around you. Eventually, some of them will come to the church, members of the body, pursue the Lord together.